Well, good morning. You know, yesterday I flew from Calgary to Regina, and when I got on the plane, the pilot said, "Good news, it's even colder in Regina than it is in Calgary." And I thought, well, praise the Lord. We're distinguished by something. We want this morning to read from God's Word, from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and beginning at verse 9 through chapter 6, verse 2, and that's page 818 in the Pew Bible. And would you just stand with me in honor of God's Word as we look at these verses together? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and beginning at verse 9. And the Word of God says, "So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for Christ's sake. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, 'In the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you.' I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. You may be seated. And Heavenly Father, we want to just look to you and ask that in the ministry of your Holy Spirit, you would take this, your word, and as Mitchell reminded us, it is an eternal word. It endures forever. May your word then encourage our hearts this morning. May you fill us once again with the hope that we have in Christ, and may you strengthen our lives today. In Jesus' strong name we pray. Amen. Well, we were driving to church this morning, and as we came past the sign, Roberta said to me, "There's a sermon title, Significant Investments, John McGregor. Maybe we should go and hear him." And so I had some encouragement even early on this morning. This is a time of year where you get to hear from banks and financial institutions and all kinds of things to invest in before the tax season comes along, right? And, you know, I was thinking about that and remembering a few years back, I had a call from the bank to say, we made an appointment for you. Would you like to come in and speak with somebody about your investments? And so I went in and was ushered into a nice office, and the gentleman who greeted me said, I just, we do this as a service. We wanted to go over your investments with you. And he had his laptop there and ready to go. And he said to me, so John, how much have you got in RRSPs? And I said, eh. And he said, how much have you got in stocks and bonds? And I said, eh. How much have you got in GICs? And I said, eh. And he said, well, how long are you going to live? And I said, until I die. And he said, well, you're not going to live very long according to this. And then he looked at me, a strange look in his eyes, and he said, you don't really care, do you? And I thought, thank you, Lord Jesus. And I said, you know, when I was 19 years old, I met the Lord Jesus Christ, and he changed my life. And he's looked after me ever since. And I'm happy to proclaim to you today that when I'm over 65, he does not push a button and say, now you're on your own. He who has looked after us will continue to look after us. And indeed, he does and he has. But you know, it made me think about this whole investment thing. The most significant investment is how you spend your time, how you invest your life. And I want to suggest to you this morning that life will get busy in this year, 2017. There will be many things in it. But the best investment that you can make is in your discipleship with Christ, to spend more time with Him and to know Him even more so. And so I want to just walk through a couple of thoughts with you this morning. What would a real life invested in Christ look like? First of all, it would look like to know Him. To know Him. And to know Him, you know, some people know about Him. You can ask people in the street, who is Jesus? And some will say, well, he's a good person. Some will say, well, he's a prophet. Some will say, well, I think he lived, you know, 2,000 years ago, and there's history about that. Some will say he's this and he's that. And some will say he's the Son of God who came and lived and died and rose from the grave so that we might be forgiven for our sin, and that separation between us and God could be bridged by Christ Himself so that we might have a personal relationship with Him and to know the gift of His salvation. Some, as I say, know about Him. While pastoring in Saskatoon, one busy day, a man came to see me. I didn't recognize him at first. His name was Brian. He came in and he said, I was your son's soccer coach a couple of years ago. I said, oh, now I know why I know your face. Yeah. And he proceeded to say, I came to see you because I'm in trouble. My marriage is not going good. My business is one step away from the bank taking everything. We're about to lose our house. My kids are all over the map. I'm in trouble. And I started to chat with him a little bit and discovered that he had gone to church as a child. And I said to him, you know, I want to just ask you, is the problem really that you know about Jesus, but you've never met him? In Job chapter 42 and verse 5, it says this, "My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." You see, sometimes we know about Jesus, and there's been some religious training in the background. We may even know, as I did as a young person, the right words to say when people ask us questions about Jesus, but knowing him is different altogether. And that day, as I said to Brian, "Would you like to meet Jesus?" And he prayed a simple prayer. And when we were finished, his face lit up. The whole room seemed to change. He just kind of glowed. And he said to me, "Would you mind writing that prayer out in case I need it again later?" And I said to him, "Good news, Brian. When you prayed that prayer, Christ heard it, and he has saved you. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. And I can give you a copy of the prayer if you want, but you just keep talking to him just as you have begun to do today." 3 months later, he called me to say, "Pastor, you told me to stick with the basics. And I went back to my business and just did the basics. And lo and behold, today I put a check in the bank. My business is back in the black. My wife and I are doing well. Read the Bible, spend time in prayer together every day. And we as a family are attending church. And things have turned around." You see, he knew about Christ. But until that moment of decision, of saying, I really want Christ in my heart, in my life, in my family, in my home, until that moment, it was just a knowledge here about Jesus. But when he cried out to God, and the Savior came into his heart, he really knew that Jesus had saved him. And that's what it is to know Christ. To know him in salvation is to know that he has changed things on the inside. Things have changed. Our desires begin to change. We want to serve him. Paul, in this letter to the Corinthians, speaks about, "I make it my goal to please him." That's a complete change of purpose, isn't it? That is to say, I don't have to engage in all the stuff that dragged me down in the first place. I can really change the whole focus and put it in Christ, and oh, what a difference it makes. Sorry, I'm getting a little Irish. But you see, what could be more exciting than to know that this God who made everything is not far away, but knowable and intimate, living within the human heart if we have come to him and to trust in him. And many today would say, "Oh, amen, John, I hear you. I did that years ago. I am so thankful today that Jesus is my Savior and that I know him." But you see, Paul, as he writes to the Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 10, he's been not only a disciple but an apostle for a long time, journeying everywhere to share the knowledge of Christ. And in that verse, he says this, "Oh, that I might know him and the power of his..." Wow. You see, there is so much more. And that is the journey of discipleship. Not only to know him and his saving grace. And if you're here this morning, the best news of all is that if you don't know Jesus, you can know him today. And in a few moments, I'll give that opportunity for you to come and to know him. Even today. But the opportunity is also there for us, who know him to go further and deeper. And obedience to Scripture is the key, isn't it? I was so thrilled to hear that report from Papua New Guinea, because it is the Word of God that changes lives and hearts, isn't it? And as we watch God take His Word and place it in our minds and hearts and discover who Christ is, oh, all of society begins to change as Christ becomes the Lord. Obedience to the Scriptures is the key. And one of those things that will be looking at in a couple of weeks is baptism. And I want to encourage you, if you're here today and you have never taken that step in baptism, that's a step in obedience to say, Lord, I want to follow you all the way. I want to demonstrate it through death to self and life in Christ in the fullness of His Spirit. And oh, I have encouraged so many people over the years, when you go into the water, if there's something that hangs onto you and drags you down, renounce it and just say, Lord Jesus, wash it today. And you'll be surprised at the power of the Spirit to do just that. Sorry, I'm getting Irish. This is the fourth time I've preached in 8 days, so retirement is really working well for me. We get to know Him more daily in His Word and prayer, and through the assurance of His presence, knowing that presence of God, that no matter where we go, He goes. What an amazing thing it is to think. When you walk in somewhere and feel lonely, you don't need to. Christ is there. If He's your Savior, He is there no matter where you go. He's promised He will never leave and never forsake. Daily, we need that fullness of the Holy Spirit to know His touch in your heart and to hear His whisper as He guides you. One of my South African friends tells a story, and I'm going to borrow it this morning because it's so appropriate, of Andrew Murray, great saint of old, walking across the street in South Africa and stopped in the middle of the road. And some of his parishioners saw him, and later they said, Dr. Murray, why did you stop in the middle of the road? A carriage could have knocked you over and you'd have been severely injured or killed. And this is what he said. For a moment, I lost the conscious presence of God, and I could not take another step without Him. My friend, that's one who's full of the Spirit and sensitive. Oh, I've taken so many steps in my own strength and way, and perhaps you have too. But at the beginning of this year, when we think about knowing Christ, is it not a great time to say, Lord, I long to just know more of Your presence and the assurance of Your presence in my life and in my heart. Secondly, when we think about a strategic investment, might it be not only to know Christ, but to serve Christ? That's a real definition of a disciple, a servant, one who serves the Lord. And the Holy Spirit enables and He equips us. Our part is to engage with Him in the gifts that He has given. And you'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 4 and some other places as well, lists of the Spirit of God's gifts to every believer. It doesn't mean that we have all of the gifts. We have some of the gifts, and you have some of the gifts, but the church really works when your giftedness and the gifts that He's placed in others comes together in flow. So not one of us have all of the gifts, but together those gifts were given so that the church might exercise the love of Christ in this world. Now, we have busy lives. Anybody in here with absolutely nothing to do this week? Come see me afterwards. I'll help you. No, we live busy lives. We live in times that are just so incredibly full and busy. That, you know, that busyness causes us to miss so many blessings and so many great things from the hand of God. Years back, working with the Billy Graham team, a friend, a pastor friend, Steve Lawson, came to speak to the Billy Graham team and to share some things from a pastor's perspective with the team. And visiting with him afterwards, we just got talking, and he was saying, you know, when I was in high school in grade 12, he said, I was the quarterback of the football team. And we had a fabulous season. We just kind of rolled over the other teams. There didn't seem to be any opposition. It was just win after win after win after win. And then there came the great game of the year. The local rivals. And he said, you know, we got prepared physically, and before getting on the bus to go to the field, our coach said, let's go in the gym. And he said, now just lie down here for a few moments. Just lay your head down and lie there for a few minutes and think this game through. Think of how you are going to defeat this, the strongest opposition, this local derby. And after a few minutes, he said, the coach came back and said, okay, guys, let's go. We got on the bus. We went to the field. He said at halftime, we were winning 21-0. And the final score was somewhere in the 40s-17. He said the team was elated. The parents were elated. The stands were erupting. People were high-fiving us going back to the bus. We got back into the changing rooms. People were popping each other with the towels. It was pandemonium. And he said, you know, I went into the gymnasium because I wanted to be quiet, and I wanted to remember some of those moments that you keep from a game like that, where I had thrown some of those passes that made the best scores. He said, when I went into the gym, it was in darkness except for those little red exit lights. And just underneath an exit light, in the dark, I saw a body. He said, I got closer, and I could see number 27 on the shirt, on this body, Art Samuels. He said, I walked over, and I didn't know if he was living or dead, so I kicked him. And quite suddenly, Art jumped up and said, yep, ready to go. You see, Art had been partying the night before, and when he lay down in the gym, he went to sleep. And he missed the game of his life. But you see, we can do that. We can just taxi. We can just mosey along. We can be just content with what knowledge we have of Jesus. We can be content and not invest our lives in serving Him. And just like Art missed the game, we can miss the greatest of blessings in watching Christ at work in us and in others. John Piper is the man who said, we are most satisfied when He is most glorified in us. That's serving Him. To serve Him, we want to regularly participate in worship services. I've got a pastor friend, and he says, my goal is that we would see everyone come every time the doors open. That's not a bad thing, is it? To worship Him, to lift Him up, to regularly just pour out our hearts to Him in praise and thanks. I think I was 12 years old as a Christian before the light really came on in this Irish head of mine, that the goal of the Christian life was to become more and more and more like Jesus. And friends, when you think about this year, to invest it in discipleship, to know Him and to serve Him, is to say, I want to become more and more like Him. Know Christ, serve Christ. You know, I am so happy to be a member of the church. Thanks for taking us in, Roberta and I. It transfers for preachers as they move here and there. But you know, it's important to take church membership because, you see, it brings a sense of belonging and of serving together. And if you've ever talked to somebody who's in the military, somebody who's gone through some action, they'll tell you there's a deep bond that unites those brothers and sisters who have stood together in the difficult times. And church membership is like that. It's to say, I love Him and I love you, and I want to stand with you, and I want to serve with you and for Christ. There's no other life so blessed as one of serving Him. The other day in the office, we were talking about cell phones. And you know, when you serve Christ, you see some things that are life-changing. And if you don't serve Him, you'll never see those kind of things. I mentioned seeing a cell phone in an extraordinary place one day. Let me briefly tell you how it happened. I had gone to the Ivory Coast to preach in an evangelistic crusade in Yogopon, the poorest part of Abidjan. And it was in a little soccer stadium. The local pastors had rented some chairs. 27 churches in the area came together to preach the gospel. And on the Sunday morning, the last day of the campaign, I said to the preachers at 5 o'clock in the morning at a prayer time, are all your bills paid? And they said, Daddy, don't worry about that. You see, they didn't want to look me in the face. And I said, I'm not worried about that. I'm just asking, are all your bills paid? Well, Daddy, we still owe a little money on the chairs. And I said, well, how much do you owe? And out came a cell phone. About $400 US. And I said, well, I don't have $400 US. So we're not done praying yet. So let's pray. And that morning, I preached in a few churches. And in one of them, the pastor said, this brother came all the way from Canada. I've watched him this week. He's been fasting. And I want you to give him a love offering. And I sat and began to weep. These are folk who have nothing. I mean nothing. And they brought a basket and set it at my feet. And I not only begin to weep, I begin to really blubber. And that congregation got up a row at a time and came by and dropped these little coins in. And at one point, I saw a cell phone dropped into the basket. Somebody didn't have anything to give, but they gave their cell phone. Just before the crusade service in that late afternoon, that pastor came to me with an envelope and he said, Daddy, this is your love offering and it's in US dollars. And I said to him, how much is it? He said, it's $415, Daddy. And I said, good, pay for the chairs. You see, if you don't serve Him, you never see God at work in those kind of ways. The greatest significant investment that you can make is in knowing Christ and serving Christ as a disciple. Now, I better hurry up because I'm still new here and I don't want to get fired for going too far over time. But if you seriously want to experience God, serve Him. The third thing that would look like is not only knowing Christ and serving Christ, but sharing Christ, to share Christ. Faith has been given to us. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tells us we're saved by grace through faith, and that's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. But you know, that faith is given so that we can share it. It just becomes stagnant if we don't share it. If you look at Israel, you'll see in the north there is the Sea of Galilee. The Jordan River runs into it and it runs out of it. In the south is the Dead Sea. The Jordan River runs into it, but nothing runs out of it. And our lives are like that too. As we share Christ, there is a fresh flow all the time. And people say, you know, John, I tried that. I'm just not good at it. And I say, I am absolutely hopeless at it. And they say, oh, come on, you do that all the time. And I say, well, I'll tell you what. I learned a long time ago in 1 Corinthians 3, and you can read it later. It simply says that one sows the seed, one waters the seed, but God gives the increase. Did you catch that? You cannot fail in sharing Christ because you're not responsible for the harvest. He is. I've preached in some of those crusades, and as I see people sometimes respond, I say, God, you are amazing. He is the one who gives the harvest. You cannot fail. You could be sowing. You could be watering. You may even be there to harvest, but it is God that is doing it. And as we share Christ, what a wonder. There is no greater joy than that of a soul winner, and there's no greater investment possible. I think taking Alliance History and Thought many years ago, I learned A.B. Simpson once turned a lady down for going to the mission field. Her name was Sophie, and she said, Pastor, I believe God is calling me to the mission field. And she was 67 or something like that. And he said, I don't think so. Go and pray some more. And as she prayed, the Lord told her, go and speak to that Jewish lawyer that you know. And she went to his office and said, Sir, I have a message from God for you. And then God took her to the butcher. Sir, I have a message from God for you. When A.B. Simpson passed away, obviously the church was packed out and the whole front was covered in flowers. And the day after Simpson's funeral was Sophie's funeral. And nobody had any idea what was about to happen. Sophie had no family, so there might be a few friends. It'd probably just be a small service. Mrs. Simpson said, leave the flowers at the front for Sophie. But the church was packed. And the pastor said, I didn't know Sophie really well. Maybe someone here could just say a word about Sophie. And a former Jewish lawyer got up and said, I remember the day she came and said, I have a message from God for you. And a butcher got up and said, I remember the day she came and said, I have a message from God for you. Just a simple lady in her later years, willing to say what she knew for Jesus. But she impacted hundreds of lives. And you and I, we have the privilege of doing that too. this year? How will you invest it? You see, Paul says here in 2 Corinthians that it's the love of Christ that compels him. And our love can grow cold sometimes, can't it? It can grow apathetic. And sometimes it needs to be rekindled. And so I'd say to you this morning, is there a passion in your heart for Christ, for souls? Shay's reading my mind. It'd be good if you would come, brother, and let me take just a few moments to wrap up. How should we invest this year strategically? Let's invest in discipleship. And perhaps there are some here this morning, as there always are in any gathering, and you're not sure in your heart that that change has ever taken place, that Christ came in and washed your sin and gave you a new life. If that's you today, in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come and discover the reality of Jesus, the Savior, sanctifier, healer, and coming King. Many of us would say, I've known Christ for a long time. And let me just say, the beginning of this year, a great time to say, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to invest my life more in you and in your work, in whatever way I can. My wife and I have this little philosophy. We've had it and kept it over the years. You know the lady in Scripture who poured out the perfume over Jesus? Jesus said, she has done what she could. And that's our philosophy. We can't do everything, but we'll do what we can. You could say that to him today. Maybe you've never ever shared your faith. But if you just step out today and say, Lord, here I am. Take me and use me. Jesus won't say, you go back and sit down. He'll say, walk with me. And I'll enable you and I'll show you what to do. Now, in the next few moments, I'm going to have my eyes closed because the Lord taught me over the years at invitation time, it's nothing to do with me. It's everything to do with Jesus. So let me invite you just to stand. And as we as a congregation stand, the Lord has been speaking to you this morning. And you know that in your heart you need salvation, or you're not sure of where you're at spiritually with God. You slip out from where you are and come here to the front. And don't worry, you may have to walk by a few people to get out. It's okay. They'll be happy to assist you. You just step out and come. Maybe others of us this morning would like to say, oh, I want to invest this year in serving him. You take this as your opportunity too, and just step out and come. And still others who would say, I long to share him. And I just want to recommit myself to that this morning. And perhaps there are some and you say, oh, the pain in my heart is so strong over things. If only someone would understand. Jesus understands. Come to him this morning. And as we gather here, it's just to do that, just to come again to Jesus, the living Savior. I think Shay's going to lead us in a song, and as we do that, you come. Just feel free to come, and we'll have a prayer together in a few moments.